Culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I got my salt
well,
hat
I got
on
my
morning. Whatever salt hat is, I got it on. And, boy, excited to be with you here on July 8th, 2016. I thank God for Friday, July 8th, 2016. He's not making another one. And, boy, do we live in unbelievable times. And I was joking to the guys in the queue here before we went on the air. Hey, the world's on fire. The culture's disintegrating. We can see it, can't we? Can't we see that that's what's happening? That's what's going on. The world is on fire. The culture is disintegrating. And, guys, there's a reason why. And it's one of the stuff I want to try to talk to you about today. Honor, we got a full queue, looks like. Everybody jumped in here early this morning. Heading to Buffalo, New York tonight. This afternoon, actually. I'm going to be on the Hagman & Hagman Report from 7 until 10. And I'm going to give those boys the gospel. Now, Joe and Doug Hagman, they like the gospel. They like it. But I'm going to get a double-barreled, head-on approach to what's going on. See, the answer to our problems are not they're not political. The answer to our problems are spiritual and moral. And we've done this. See, they've done a miraculous job, fellas, of the separation between the church and state. They've now done the separation between of morality and state. They've done the separation of morality and the individual. Actually, now morality is a personal choice and a personal opinion. That's what they've done to us. And so we have a class of people who in Dallas, Texas, think it's okay to kill police officers. I've thought about that, too, when a guy pulled me over one time. Murder went through my mind, but I didn't have a gun with him. Just kidding. And morality has become personal morality. And how did we get to the point where morality becomes personal? How did we ever get to the point where that may be right for you, but that's not right for me. How did we ever get to that point? And I continue to be amazed that Christians in particular cannot connect the dots. They can't connect the dots. I was watching, I got up good and early this morning. And I was watching a selfie video that was made by Pastor T.D. Jakes. He's in Dallas. Everybody knows who Pastor T.D. Jakes is. I'm not here to criticize Pastor Jakes. So please, I hope it doesn't come across as that. I love listening to his preaching. I think he misses it a lot in some of his theology. He's a multimillionaire, so a lot of people like listening to him, which tells me this. He's probably an heir. Or millions. We learned yesterday, wide is the way, narrow is the gate. If you're preaching a message that's right on and truthful, you ain't going to have a lot of followers. But I was listening to T.D. Jakes because I respect him. I don't know if you know this or not. Two things that I'm going to say about T.D. Jakes, and again, this is not about T.D. Jakes, that you understand. He's a tremendously huge Obama supporter. Bishop Jakes is. And number two, I don't know if you know this, his son's a homosexual. In fact, his son, far be it from me to criticize how anybody's kid turns out. You understand? I'm not talking about that. But T.D. Jakes is wavering on homosexuality. Why is he wavering on homosexuality? Because it's different when it hits close to home, isn't it? So it is. But I was listening to T.D. Jakes do this 27-minute selfie. I was listening to it, and I was hearing his heart, and his heart was genuine, and he was calling out reconciliation between the races and blah, 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 blah. And his entire language as he spoke was divisive. My people and the white people and the black people and the white church and white cops getting killed and black people getting killed and I've been through hard times and my people have been through hard times and blah, blah, back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And I'm thinking, this brother is my brother. I couldn't care what skin color he is. Why is he calling his people his people? What the hell does that mean? His people. I'm his people. But see, he's not doing it on purpose. He's not doing, they call that identity politics. It has been so ingrained into all of us. All of us have been ingrained with it. The Bishop T.D. Jakes doesn't have any idea what the problem in America is. He doesn't have any problem. He doesn't understand the problem. It's not black and white. It's not red and yellow. It's not left and right. It's not none of that. And I'm watching him. I didn't know whether to punch him, give him a noogie on his bald head, or hug him. I didn't know what to do. I'm thinking, Lord, how can this great, influential black man be so wrong? How can he be missing it so much? Not on purpose. I hurt his heart. Got to get together with my white brothers, and I've got to get black brothers and white brothers. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. My goodness. Feeding right into the same thing. And, guys, we've got to come. We have to come against this stuff. We have to. We have to. Me and you. I've got to drop something. Excuse me. We have to come against. I had a conversation yesterday with my good friend, J.R. By the way, J.R., stand up and show him that shirt. Stand up and show him his shirt. Folks, can you see that? J.R.'s got a shirt he's wearing that says, Make the Church Great Again. Huh? There you go, T.D. Jakes. There you go. And on the back, as goes the church, so goes the nation. That's it, brother. That's it. There's T.D. Jakes supporting that. Oh, Lord, I almost said that word. Thank you, Lord, I didn't say that. So, supporting that mulatto in the White House. This man who's half white, considers himself black, who came out when those two guys got killed. Those two, hey, looked to me like the cops overreacted. Did look to me like the cops overreacted, but those cops didn't go out to shoot black guys. And the mulatto president comes out and throws gasoline on the fire, as he always does, because his position is he wants more of this stuff. He wants more of it. He wants, until we understand that the man in the White House is being used by the evil one, until T.D. Jakes, until he opens his damn eyes and understands that we're wrestling not against black and white, we're wrestling against principalities and powers. We're wrestling against powers that are trying to convince black men like T.D. Jakes that their skin color's the issue. How can he be so blind? So I had a conversation with my friend JR, who's trying to make the church great again. And I asked JR if I could share this, by the way. And JR cautioned me. He says, Coach, you got to stay a little bit away from maybe some of that tinfoil hat stuff. So a lot of people listening to the show said, we're trying to build an audience, which we are. Listen, I ain't trying to build an audience. I'm trying to tell the truth. But I understand what JR was saying. He said, You're speaking to baby Christians, maybe. You're getting some people whose eyes are just getting open, and then you start talking about chemtrails and vaccinations. You take them all down and say, all of a sudden, man, they're just gonna write you off. And I know JR loves me, and I took it in the right spirit, even though I said, listen, man, I'm cut the way I'm cut. I'm sorry, baby. I'm cut the way I'm cut, and I'm going to tell the truth. And then I said this to him. I'm looking for those whose eyes are open. I'm not trying to play patty cake with the pew sitters. I'm not trying to play patty cake with them. We are in such a critical time in this America that if I'm going to water down what I believe to try to get more people to watch, hell, I'm no better than T.D. Jakes. I'm no better than Joel Osteen. And if you are a mature Christian man and you can't handle a little bit of stuff that's outside your box, I don't even know what the hell to say to you. So if you're turned off by chemtrails, and you're turned off by vaccinations, and you're turned off by false flags, and you're turned off by conspiracy theories, well, go watch anybody. I'm looking for guys whose eyes are open. Now, as I said to you, not everything I bring to you am I completely straight on. I don't know. But Rich, if I was going to take you and you and I were going to go walking out in the woods out here in Ohio, and you've never been out here in the woods in Ohio, I'd probably say to you, hey, Rich, listen, man, be careful when you get down there during that riverbank because there are copperheads down there. Now, Rich, would you want me to tell you that or not? Or you just want me to wander down in there and then you get bit by a snake and say, gee, what happened? What? How come you didn't tell me? So when I bring these tinfoil hat things to the table, I'm trying to tell you there's a snake, baby. There's a snake laying out there, and he bites in more ways than we understand that he bites. And you're an adult, and you don't need to come here every day and be fed by me, go to church and be fed by your pastor. You got a computer. You got a Bible. You got a mind. You have the Holy Spirit. You take things that we lay on the table, and you take it through the whole this. You take it through the filter of the Holy Spirit. Don't believe it because I said it. But I'm going to bring it to the table, and I'm going to let you chew on it, and you come to your own conclusion. Thumbs up on that. Is that okay with everybody? That's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. And I can tell you right now, if I turn Steve Min, I listened to Steve Minking on a show the other night called Brothers on the Wall. I heard him for about 25 minutes. And I'm going to tell you, if I turned him loose to talk to you about what I heard him talk about on that show the other night, some of you would be messing your pants. You wouldn't want to believe it. You want to go along in perfect bliss that this evil one isn't doing this. That this the evil in the world is so deep and so great and so vast. You're sitting there thinking it's coincidence. Obama's dumb. How can Obama do that? James Comey, how can he do that? Are they so corrupt? Hillary, how could you get away with it? Open your stinking eyes. Nothing should surprise you. I'll throw this one out there. Here's another conspiracy theory for you, boys. I don't know what went on in Dallas, Texas. But you want me to believe that this was just four homeboys who grabbed AR-15s and went and strategically picked off police officers? You want me to believe that? That four guys hanging out in the hood got them AR-15s and went and strategically placed and put these police officers in a crossfire situation? Are you that stupid? Because don't ask me to be that stupid. Big, vast right-wing conspiracy is what Hillary said. No, it's a big, vast left-wing conspiracy. You following me, guys? Something stupendously evil going on in our midst. Something stupendously evil. I want to show you. I got a Jared, let's do this thing first. Anybody want to say anything yet? I'm just getting started, boys.
Amen.
Anybody want to say anything yet?
I just want to say on your identity politics thing, you know, the Bible reveals to us identity, for lack of a better word, religion, and it's found a couple of places in Matthew and in Luke, and it's when Jesus answers the disciples' question, teach us to pray. He starts off with teaching them to pray. He says, say, our Father. So the identity is the children of God. Doesn't matter race, doesn't matter flavor of denomination. Amen. It's Amen. Our those who are his children. That's the identity religion that the Bible preaches.
You know, Larry, I'll bet you this. I'll bet you $415, because that's probably all I got left in my name. I'll bet you $415 that T.D. Jakes consider Obama more of a brother than me. Anybody want to argue with that?
Nope. And nope. Obama is definitely not the son.
He's definitely not a brother.
He ain't my brother.
He ain't my brother. He's not the brother of my father. See, he ain't got nothing to do with race. I hate the white side of the guy. Ain't got nothing to do with race. Has to do with truth.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else want to get in there before I bark some more? I'm hot today, guys. I don't know if you picked up on it yet. I'm hot today. Trying to let the Holy Spirit guide us into all truth. Jared, put up that email. I forwarded you an email this morning, buddy. Right at the end. I hope you got it. I'm trying to find it here over on my computer. Do you have it, Jared? Because it's missing. Hang on here. I hate. Yeah, Jared, maybe I'm looking at my screen. I'm messing on another computer. Yeah. That's it, Jared. Hey, guys, I got this email. I get emails from people I don't even know, and it's good. Come on, computer. And I want to read this to you. This is this good. And my brother out there you go. My brother out there, I'm not trying to do anything. If you didn't want me to share this, that's okay. I'm trying to find it over here. I just sent it to Jared. Hang on. I want to read this to you. This came from one of us, JR. This came from one of us out here in the hinterland. There are more of us than we even understand. I want to read this email, unsolicited, I got yesterday on the commentary that I wrote. Thanks, Jared. You ready, guys? Listen to this. Remember, I wrote the argument about the Great Awakening was starting with wasps. Coach, you're mostly right, just not sure that the awakening is that great. Seems more like selective awakening to me. It's not along ethnic lines particularly, maybe along religious lines, I'm not sure. Listen, I live in an upscale gated community of about 500 single-family homes, 55-plus, mostly upper middle-class retirees from all over the U.S. who come here to Central Florida. They seem disconnected from reality to me. My ventures into the city tell me that there are a lot of dull, humorless people manning the stores and restaurants. Can anybody say amen right now? Can anybody say amen? Are you seeing this? Last year we were being fumigated by the USG. You know what he's talking about, right? He's talking about chemtrails. Being fumigated almost every day. Big doses of the stuff. Sky-obscuring doses by 11 o'clock in the morning. I was able to alert some people. A few were responsive. The rest, I don't think, cared. People just walk along, looking down mostly, never look up to see that the wonderful heavens above them are being sprayed with something. Are we being used as guinea pigs? This is worldwide, but seems mostly in the Northern Hemisphere. They backed off considerably this year, but they're still spraying some. You all still with me? Huh? I'm sorry out there if it's too much of a tinfoil hat. There are adults in my family that you cannot talk with intelligently. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. They drop out of the conversation if you venture out of what they have seen on television. They seem to get that Obama is destroying America, but not really grasping how or believing for that matter. They just can't bring themselves to believe anyone can be so evil as to deliberately destroy a nation. We know who will, don't we, folks? It's the evil one. Not necessarily Barack. It's the evil one working through him. See, the Holy Spirit works through people. Do other spirits work through people? Never thought of that, Coach. And then look at this. I wonder if they would vote for Hillary if the mass mind-controlled machine they are addicted to puts on an Evita blitz. A neighbor who is all in for Bernie laughed when I said Obama is a Muslim. He thought I was joking. Look at this line. Something is seriously wrong with Americans' brains. Somebody give me a thumbs up. One of my daughters got the bright idea that she wanted to move back to her hometown in Richland County, Ohio. That's Mansfield, just up the road. I don't know if he knows I'm from Ohio or not. Where industry has been stripped out, real estate taxes are absurdly oppressive. For 2 years, she's struggling to make ends meet working 3 part-time jobs because no full-time jobs open to her. Yet the UN is sending counterculture immigrants into our towns and villages and making us pay the freight. Why do Americans put up with this bullcrap? Well, here's the answer. Something's wrong with Americans' brains. One of my daughter's job is with FedEx in Mansfield. Her bosses are a young, happy, bitchy, 20-something female. Anybody know them? And the local manager is an empty suit. There's no opportunity there for advancement. It's a stressful, boring, dead-end paper grind. A dishwasher kind of job. One of her other jobs is with wonderful people in a wonderful company, American Standard, now owned by the Japanese. Huh, unbelievable, huh? Wonderful people. but they can't hire full-time even though they'd like to. Her third job is self-employment, serving, working for a PI. She has no future, thanks to Obamacare. Something is wrong. I've yet to meet anyone. Think about this, guys. I've yet to meet anyone who is a Hillary supporter. Think about that. Are they just telling us she's popular? Where are all of them? I'm beginning to see this is a virtual reality political soap opera operated by criminal mobs. Yeah, there is an awakening. There had to be after so many years of being screwed over. But what will it take? But will it take a really big oversight whopper to make it great? I tell people, if you really want to see where we are and where we're headed, learn all you can about the first two decades of the 20th century and focus on Germany. American and German history are not identical, but there are similarities, patterns, and commonalities. The same meddlesome people who were manipulating Germany then are manipulating Germany and America now for the same reasons. There's something wrong with Americans' brains. There's something wrong with Americans' brains. I don't know if you heard me. There's something wrong with Americans' brains. Now, we have the choice to dumb ourselves down there with them. I've chosen to move forward and drop little pieces of breadcrumbs of truth wherever I go, hoping somebody's going to eat it and get nourished. You can deny chemtrails. You can deny fluoride in the water. You can deny vaccinations. We can laugh about all that stuff. The devil is unbelievably on the loose. Ezekiel 34, 35. Jump in here if you want to real quick. I just got a couple verses I want to share out of Ezekiel 35. T.D. Jakes can't see his identity politics. He can't even see it. He can't even see it. Black churches and white churches. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable. This is the Lord's watchman. Isaiah 56:10, his watchmen are blind. His watchmen are. I'm not going to read a lot from this. I'm going to read down probably the first, 35:1. Y'all there? If not, too bad. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Ezekiel 35. The word of God saying to me, Son of man, set thy face against Mount Seir, and prophesy against it. To prophesy against it means to speak against it. To speak the truth of God to it. All right? And say unto Mount Seir, he's talking about people. He's not talking about speaking to a mountain. He's talking about an establishment. The mountains of the seven, you know, there's a movement called the Seven Mountain Movement in Christianity. Occupy the gates of seven mountains. So when somebody's talking about a mountain, they're talking about something that's in the way, a power that's in the way. Okay, follow me. So he's not talking about a mountain. But he says, speak to that mountain for me. I'm against thee. Tell them I'm against thee. And I will stretch out my hand against thee, and I will make thee most desolate. I will lay thy cities waste, and you shall be desolate. And you shall know that I am the Lord. Hey, boys and girls, he's going to show us he's the Lord here. He's going to show us. Hey, JR, he's going to make the church great again. He's going to make the church great again. And the only way the church is going to be great is when the government ain't. Miss that. The church will never be great as long as the government is or thinks they are. Okay, hang on. Oh, it's all over the news. I'm veering off course. Excuse me. We're slaves. We're slaves. 50 people I saw, 50 shootings in Chicago last weekend. 50. Two guys killed by cops. Two black guys killed by white cops. and Obama comes out and the world's on fire and the culture's disintegrating. And Obama comes out and speaks specifically about that, about those two guys. Something's wrong in America. Feeding the flames, throwing gasoline on the despair. Okay, hang on. JR, this is for you, brother. It's what you've been saying all the time. Because you have had a perpetual hatred. It's a perpetual hatred in America, isn't there? There's some blacks that just absolutely hate whites. They can come up with that idea on their own. And there's some whites that hate blacks. And there's some Buckeyes that hate Wolverines. There's a perpetual hatred. And hast shed the blood of the children of America by the force of the sword in the time of their calamity and in the time that their iniquity had an end. We are slaughtering innocent children that belong to the Lord. You understand this? Stay with me. Therefore, as I live, saith the Lord God, I will prepare thee unto blood. The Lord is telling us there's blood coming, boys. And blood, oh my goodness. Therefore, as I live, verse 6, saith the Lord, I will prepare you unto blood, and blood shall pursue you, because thou hast not hated blood. Blood shall run you down. T.D. Jakes, heartsick over all those black babies being slaughtered in the abortion clinics. T.D. Jakes, a man of God, multimillionaire, 30,000 people coming to his congregation. He doing anything to stop what grieves the Lord most, the shedding of innocent blood, blood on our hands. Bible says he won't even be able to hear us be so much blood on our hands. Blood in the womb, blood in the world. Terror in the womb, terror in the world. And this thing happens in Dallas, and it's horrible. It's horrible that it happened. How many babies were killed in Dallas yesterday and will be killed today? Obama praying about that? Is T.D. Jakes praying about that? We have people who are running this country, JR, who are filled with unforgiveness and bloodthirst. It's not political. It's not racial. It's spiritual. And we'll pause there a second. Somebody's got something to say. I feel it.
Satan, we don't get into heaven, Coach, unless we're forgiven, right? And that's the rule. You got to be forgiven. And the Bible clearly states, if you do not forgive other men of their trespasses, you will not be forgiven yourself. And over the years, and you're seeing it with our president, there's a group of people that have been taught that other people are responsible for the bad things that have happened to them. And it just keeps hammering. And it's sad, it's division. It looks like we're headed to a civil war, Coach. It's going to be black and white, it's going to be progressive, liberal, it's going to be patriots, communists. I mean, it's setting up. It may start in Cleveland or Philadelphia.
Bloodshed's following bloodshed. Bloodshed is running us down. Guys, do you understand that? Do you understand that? Bloodshed is running us down. It's pursuing us. Go ahead,
JR.
Yeah.
Just, I'm compelled to add a little clarification to what you just said. You're absolutely right. The Bible says that we will not be forgiven unless we forgive others. But it's important that we understand what Jesus was saying and the words he used, because he's talking to his disciples again. And he says, so my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother. We are not required to forgive the Obamas, who are our the sons of Satan instead of the Son of God. We are not required to forgive everybody on the face of the earth, everything they ever did. That's God's job, to forgive them if they come through Jesus. Our job as Christians is to forgive our brothers. And Jesus was very clear, if you don't learn how to forgive your brothers, he said, my Heavenly Father also will do to you. He will not forgive you. He's talking to his disciples. And it's a brotherhood that we have to forgive, not everybody on the
face. So Larry, Jared, I'm going to come to you there. We need a new shirt. Rather than judge not, we need one that says forgive not. Right? Go ahead, Jared. Not hearing you. Jared, I can't hear you. Come back, because I want to hear what you got to say, man. Get yourself working there. Just get yourself. Listen, this is why I love this. The different perspectives. Just different perspectives. Guys, listen, I want to take you to here. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but the Holy Spirit just spoke this to me as JR and Larry were speaking. I think I shared this with you before, but there are certainly people who are listening that have never listened to us before. And I don't know where the scripture is. Maybe somebody can find it for me. It's a crucifixion. Jesus has just previously, about a chapter previously, has just told everybody that he has the power to forgive sins. He was healing the guy, and they got mad at him. He says, oh, you got the power to heal? And you say you got the power to forgive sins? He says, which is easier? Say, your sins are forgiven, or rise up and walk. He says, I had the power to forgive sins. And then we see about a chapter later, at the crucifixion, when Jesus himself says, as they're nailing him, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I would say this. I didn't hear this from T.D. Jakes or anything, or Rod Parsley, or I didn't hear it from Kenneth Copeland, so I could be wrong. Jesus just said he could forgive them. Why did he have to ask the Lord to forgive them? He says, you forgive them, Father. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. Steve says, Luke 23:34. Turn there real quick. I want you to see it. I don't want you to think I'm lying. Luke 23:4. Siri, turn to Luke 23:34. There we go. 23:34. 32. And there were also two other malefactors. We couldn't even call them malefactors today, could we? That's verse 32. Led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and one on the other hand, said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted. So Jesus forgives the guy, right? This is not, that wasn't the right scripture. It wasn't what I'm looking. Well, he told him, today you're going to be with me in paradise. But somewhere, maybe it's in Matthew, Jesus says, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. And I would say this, forgiveness is about coming back into relationship. We all hold grudges. You say, well, he didn't even say he was sorry. I got people right now who are probably holding a grudge against me because I never apologized to them. Probably. And I'm probably holding a grudge against somebody who never apologized to me. And I say in my heart, well, if they just say they're sorry. See, God can't forgive an unrepentant sin. God can't forgive what you don't ask him to forgive him. God cannot forgive what you don't ask him to forgive. So Jesus is laying there and they're nailing him. And he said, oh man, Lord, I'd like to forgive them, but they're not asking me. Lord, you're going to have to handle this one. And we want to throw around grace and forgiveness. Like Larry said, we want to throw it around like it's sugar and like it's candy. Forgiveness brings you back in right relationship. That's what it does. That's what repentance does. I'm sorry, Lord. That's all he wanted to hear. Now we're back in relationship. What did Adam do? He blamed him. It's a woman you gave me. Well, Adam wasn't forgiven. What if Adam had manned up right then and said, "Oh, I've screwed up so bad. I'm sorry. Would we be in right relationship with the Lord today? Jared, you had your hand up. Are you working there, man?
I don't know. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
This happened to me yesterday on the whole Facebook chat. This exact issue from a Christian saying God will cover it over even if you don't repent of it. Basically, I mean, that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then here's some Luke 13:3. I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish.
Unless you repent.
Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy.
Amen, brother.
You have to turn from your wicked ways. You
have to apologize.
First.
What do we do as parents? What do we do to our little my five-year-old granddaughter when she's mean to her little brother? What does her mother make her do? You tell him you're sorry. It's the first step to reconciliation. And you know what we're doing, Roger? We're forgiving people that ain't sorry. I'm not, guys, listen, I'm not in right relationship with Barack Obama. I'm sorry. I'm not. And JR, I'd bet you $451. I just had to pay a bill, so the money went down. I bet you $451, JR, that there is unforgiveness in the heart of T.D. Jakes. Anybody want to argue with me on that one? He hasn't forgiven his white brother. He still talks about all the hard times and what he went through and what he saw in his life. He hasn't forgiven it. He hasn't forgiven it.
Coach.
Yeah.
This is such an important, important subject because, you know, I've mentioned often on this huddle about Matthew 7, where most of the people proclaiming, "Lord, Lord," Jesus is going to reject them and send them to hell.
Amen.
One of the main reasons for that is because so many, quote, preachers and teachers and churches out there are teaching that the blood of Christ covers every sin, past, amen, present, and future.
You got,
you know,
it,
what?
Brother.
The Bible does not say that.
No.
The Bible says that the blood of Christ, he died for the sins of the world. Christ was very clear in his prayer to the Father in John 17 that those who are now his are no longer of the world. Now, you've mentioned that a few times and how it's been misused. But when you belong to Christ, when you are his brother and his sister, and we can honestly say our Father when we're praying, when you are in that household, the blood of Christ no longer covers your sins because the sins you committed before you came to Christ were covered by that blood.
Amen.
But once you come to Christ, he had a very extensive teaching to the disciples, and we just covered it. And J.R. just mentioned it. And that is, our forgiveness now, as brothers and sisters in Christ, is totally dependent on us, on our forgiving our brothers.
Amen.
Because Jesus was so clear, if you do not forgive the sins of your brothers, my Father is not going to forgive you your sins. He was clear about it. There's no other way you can take that verse to mean anything else. There's two different ways God handles sin. Pre-Christ, pre-coming to the cross, after becoming a child of God.
Amen.
There's two separate systems of handling sin. And this is not my idea. This is what the Word of God says.
Amen. Can I connect a dot? Anybody else before I connect a dot? Turn to Psalm 144 while I'm connecting a dot here. I had a video I was going to play, but I'm probably not going to play it because I'm going to summarize it here. Hey, guys. I wrote a commentary about 4 years ago called Multiculturalism is Spiritual AIDS. And what we're seeing happening in America today is that we no longer share a common culture. I wrote in the commentary yesterday, it used to be E pluribus unum, out of many, one. And now it's just the opposite. Now it's out of one, many. One nation under God, indivisible, has become one nation divisible. It's divided by everything. Race, sex, sexual preference, finances, skin color, football team. Divide, 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 divide. And so we're looking at an America today where we do not share a common culture. Now, Michael Savage wrote a book about, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago now. In fact, it's been the motto for his radio program. I'm just going to say this real quickly. More people listen to Michael Savage in New York City than listen to Rush Limbaugh. Just heard that yesterday. Do you know that? That's a good thing, by the way. Not that Michael's so good, but they're not listening to Rush. He wrote a book called Borders, Language, and Culture. That's what makes a nation. Borders, language, and culture. And you look at the good old U.S. of A., and look at what they have done to us. Look at what they've done to our borders. Look what they have done to our language. And look what they have done to our culture. With this great gift of multiculturalism. Hey, fellas, come on now. Up until 1960, what would have been the religious culture of the United States of America? What was it? You don't have to say it. Christianity. It was the culture. See, listen, we confuse ethnicity with culture. Ethnicity, we are multi-ethnic, not multicultural. I look at Serge. What the heck are you, Serge? Are you a Dago? What are you? I can't hear you, man. Got to unmute yourself. I can't hear. I'm going to call him a WOP. I don't know if he is or not. I don't know. But his ancestors, when his ancestors came here, they maintained their WOPishness. But they became Americans. And what did they teach to their children? The language and the culture. And Germans, my family, British, the other half of my family, they came to America and they taught their children to adopt the American view, the American way of life. And what was the American view, the American way of life? Christianity. And our founders said that there's a separation between the church and state. Well, that's baloney. They said that there's religious freedom. But they also made it very clear, you can come here and be a Muslim if you want to, although they didn't let them in. You can come here and be a Muslim, but you're going to have to adopt our standards. You're going to have to come to our schools where we're going to teach your children Christian values. Your kids don't have to be a Christian, but they have to have Christian values. Because if we're not all playing by the same set of rules, then we're not going to be able to get along. Can two walk together lest they agree, the scripture says. And so Roger Weaver and Serge and Robert, I'm getting guys close to my age, and Larry and JR and, okay, Rich, I'll throw you in there. Yeah, Mike, I'll throw you in there too. We all came from different ethnicities, different backgrounds, and we were immersed in public schools where we were all taught the same values. Red and yellow, black and white, no matter how you came out understanding there were Christian values. You didn't have to follow them, but this was what was expected of every child. That's gone. That's gone. You sit in your TV and you watch your TV and you can't freaking believe what you see. You can't even believe what people are believing. You can't even believe what people are believing that other people are taking serious. We have a man, Bruce Jenner, who says he's a woman, and we're taking him seriously. Why? Because they have eliminated our ability to think. E pluribus unum. They called us a melding pot. Not melting, not M-E-L-T, M-E-L-D, melding pot. And it's the idea of throwing a lot of different types of metals, heating them up, and it becomes a different metal, but a solid, strong metal. Different ethnicities coming together. See, T.D. Jakes doesn't share that with us. T.D. Jakes is stuck in black. He's stuck in black, his black brothers and his black sisters. probably most of the people in his church sending his their children to the government schools where they're being indoctrinated in that cultural Marxism and taught that all cultures are same, all religions are valid, everybody's belief is the same. Who are you to judge? My goodness, when we started our nation out, if you did something stupid, they put you in the stocks in downtown. They stuck your head through a hole and your hands through a hole. People came by and threw stuff at you, spit at you. And now they take their pants off and they walk down Broad Street and celebrate their debauchery, and we're okay with it. We're tolerant and diverse. It's our only chance. Only chance is a return to Christian values. We have Hillary Clinton, and so I haven't even spoken about that today, and James Comey. Hey, guys, they didn't even put Hillary under oath. The FBI spoke to her for 3.5 hours and didn't even put her under oath. Why? Why? Well, they knew that if she went under oath, they had her. They didn't want her. Why didn't they want her? Because the evil one's doing shenanigans behind the scene on us, see? So this multicultural... Hey, Roger, do you know that in Columbus right now today, Columbus, Ohio, they have a German village? They have an Italian village? Why is that? Because people have come and assimilated, and they've brought their culture and their heritage with them, but they are Americans first. What do you think? You go to the average black American, do you think he's an American first? Hell no, he's an African. He's an African. And unfortunately, the church has bought it. So what's our culture? We're multicultural. What's our culture? Hey, guys, what's our culture based on? It's not a rhetorical question I'm asking. If someone were to say to you, or if historians were... What? Well, that's what it's supposed to be, Robert. It is for me and you. What's our government's culture? Borders, language, and culture. They've eliminated the borders. They're bringing all the Muslims in. And what's the American culture?
Humanism.
Football. Humanism. What'd you say, Roger?
Football.
Humanism. Being taught to our children in our schools. That's why most of us, you don't have to raise your hand on this one. Most of us have these beautiful little children that they give us. We take them and we train them. I did this. And then I put them in the government school because they have good football, and I'm coaching there at that government school. And I put them in there in that government school. And then I send them off to college and pay $35,000 a year to send them off to college. And they come home from college, and I say, what the hell happened to Zach? Finishing school, is that what you said?
Yep.
Yeah. What the hell happened to him? He wasn't raised like that. Can somebody say amen? You know what I'm talking about? So what's the culture? The culture is, I'm okay, you're okay, and whoever's in power gets to determine right and wrong. I look at this mess. Hillary Clinton, John Kerry, Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Dianne Feinstein, Bernie Sanders. What the hell is going on? Well, here we sit, begging evil men to do good. And it ain't going to happen because we no longer share a common value system. T.D. Jakes identifies as a black man. T.D. Jakes. All right, come on in here, boys.
Hey, before everybody gets started, I want to remind everybody tomorrow, I have it on good authority that B.J. Edwards is going to talk about fear, hate, and division, spirit of unforgiveness, black and white division, and Justified. I don't know whether you guys have ever seen the TV series Justified, but it's about a U.S. Marshal who ends up about the end of every show killing somebody, but it's Justified.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people in Dallas and in the United States feel justified after what happened yesterday. Now think about this. How many feel justified?
Brother, I got you. I got you. Somebody else go ahead and say something, because I'm going to prove a point to you right now. Jared, I'm about to send you a link that I want you to get ready to play. Somebody else go ahead. Hey, how about the Dago there? Can you speak? Robert, you go ahead. What are you, Robert? What culture are you from, Robert?
I really don't know. I believe in Christ, and that's the culture I'm trying to follow, Coach.
Amen, baby. Amen. Amen. But hey, Robert, you got to keep that to yourself, though. That's private.
That religion's private. I can't.
Well, you
hey,
have
Coach, to. I'm going to try to get this through without crying. I told some people I was coming, and of course, I got the same response as the Ohio trip. Why? And I said, because I have associated and joined a band of brothers. And I support them, and I'm going to do what I can to support them. My wife, she supports this. And it's one little nail in a house. But I don't know what to do other than... Woo! Show my God... And I'm not afraid. I had several people this morning call me at home and say, "Brother, you can't go. Look what happened yesterday."
Yeah, I'm hearing
New York boy.
Yep, I'm hearing that too. Yep.
And I said, Robert, "Hey, you know what? God will protect me if it's His will." Now I am thinking about not taking my wife and bringing her, but I want to stand with the Salt Brigade and everybody that's in the huddle and do my part, because the world and the church has been waiting on somebody else to take the target because they're afraid, and I'm not afraid to stand with you gentlemen.
You the man, baby. You the man. You the man.
Hey, Robert and Dave. Yeah. You know, Dave, you mentioned earlier, as the program started, you talked about Robert and Mike were going to drive up there because the Lord put it on them to drive up there. I just want to remind everyone from the book of Acts, there was a fellow by the name of Philip. And in chapter 8, we see that the angel of the Lord came and spoke to him and said, "Go, get out on that road that goes south, which goes down toward Jerusalem to Gaza." And so Philip got up and went. He got up, it says he arose and went. He didn't call AAA to make travel plans. He got up and went. And then a little later on, it says that the Spirit said to Philip, he's walking along this road, God told him to go on, and he says, "Hey, there, that dude up there in front of you," says, "that's who you're supposed to be talking to here." It says, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So he was already going. He'd already gotten up and was on his way. Now he started running toward the goal God told him to go to. And that's the way we as brothers and sisters in Christ should be, to go to each other's defense.
Amen, brother.
To go to each other's encouragement.
Yep.
And go toward the goals that God puts on our hearts. We're supposed to get there. That's why I came up to the gay pride thing that morning, you know, the morning I left. Yep. I mean, it was less than an hour after I said I was supposed to be there. Less than an hour, I was in my car on the way.
Amen, brother. Not trying to make anybody guilty here. Mike's driving all the way from Maine. Jared, I just sent you a video. I just sent you one. Get that one up there. I'm going to show you. Golly, we only got 7 minutes left. I want to show you something. I'm going to show you this. I don't even have to say anything. I'm going to play this. Jared's going to play this. And then I want you to just think. Compare what you're about to see with what we are seeing. Are you finding it, Jared? I know you are, man.
I got
that one? Can you get it up there?
It's up.
No, I want to do the one I just sent you.
That's the one you just sent me.
Oh, it is? No, it didn't. I'm looking at my. I'm looking here. Oh, Coach Jared. No, I just sent you another one. Hang on, Jared. I promise you, folks. I'm sorry. What bad planning. It's okay. I got to get it up here. I got to get it. I sent it, Jared. I swear I did. I swear I did. It just came to you. Culture. Borders, language, and culture. I don't know if we got time. See, I was having a conversation with JR yesterday regarding, because JR is going to have his on his show tomorrow, I think, this whole idea of white. Do we go there? Do we talk about white? Do we talk about, see, it's culture. It's culture. It's not race. It's not race. You give me that same one? You are. It must be on my end, Jared. I can't believe this is happening to me. Guys, stay with me. Please don't leave me. I'm going to go over 2 minutes if I have to today. Here it is. This is what I want. Let's do this. Let's copy it. And let's send it to Jared as a paste. Stay there. Trust me, Jared, this will be a different one, I think.
I have faith.
I know you do, babe. That faith is saying that this mountain be thou removed, be thou cast. Okay, now I think you got it, bud. Now it's coming to you. Culture. We see all these guys out in the street shooting each other. Why are they shooting each other? Gangsta thugs, right? Gangsta thugs. Inner city schools. No Bible in the inner city schools. No dads in the home. None. None. They're all imitating the thugs. Everywhere we see, they're imitating the thugs. Okay, here we go. 2 minutes and 40 seconds. Watch the platters. Remember the platters? Watch the platters. So look what the cultural Marxists have done to black music. Look what they've done. These guys are in the 50s and the 60s and are understanding liberty and freedom for the first time. They're dressed in suits. They're not gyrating. They're not, the woman's got clothes on. She's not bucking or twerking or whatever they call that. And then we got President of the United States, prim and proper black man, and all of the young kids in the ghetto through the public schools and through gangster rap music. We see them out on the streets in Dallas. You get it? Do you get it, Roger? Do you see what's happened to us? They're just acting out what we've taught them. They're just acting out what we taught them. And T.D. Jakes is just as racist. He's just not as angry. But he's just as racist. I'm looking right now on my screen. I'm going to click on my screen. There's Jared popped. Whoops. Yeah, let's get this over here. Jared popped up. There's Rich popped up. There's JR popped up. Wow. There's Larry pops up. There's Mike pops up. There's Robert pops up. There's Roger popping up. There's Surge, the WAP popping up. I think you're WAP Surge, I don't know. There's Steeman popping up. There I am popping up. And not once have you heard me say anything about our people, my people. But if I got T.G. Jakes on here and we wanted to have a discussion, all of us, you know what we would talk, you know what T.G. Jakes would be talking to us about? His people and what his people have been through. Have any idea, Roger, what your ancestors have been through? Serge, Stephen, you have any idea what your forefathers did to be here? Michael, Robert, Larry, Rich, you have any idea what they've been through? My people. My people. Funny, isn't it? I'm about done. When I was coaching, I always told our guys this. Quit worrying about those other guys. Quit worrying about them. Quit worrying about our opponents, how big they are and how fast they are and how good their tailback is and how many games they won. Quit worrying about all that crap because we can't do anything about them. The only thing we can do is control what we do. If we block and tackle and hang on to the ball and don't get stupid penalties and don't argue amongst ourselves, I like our chances at the end of the game. Let's quit worrying about the other team and let's take care of our team. And what's T.D. Jakes and the pastors, what are they all doing? They're worrying about the other team. They're constantly talking about the devil and the devil's doing this and the other team. Well, let's get it going here, man. Let's get our team together. And until we learn to play as a team, however small that team might be, we're not going to go anywhere. Psalm 133 says that where there is unity, God commands a blessing. One nation under God, completely divisible, completely divided. One nation no longer under God. If my people, Larry, if my people who are called by my name, if just my guys will play by the rules, just my people. If we can get black churches to quit calling themselves black churches. If we can get white people to quit calling them black churches. If we can stop identifying, if we can stop the race identity politics, if we can stop all that identity politics, if we can stop all of it, the poor and the rich, the weak and the strong, the old and the young, the union and the corporate, if we can stop all that crap, divide and conquer is the oldest trick in the book. I used to teach our guys, defensive linemen, baby, you better split that double team. Split the double team. We don't split the double team anymore. God bless you. Have a great weekend. I'm off to Buffalo. See some of you up there. Pray for us. We can still win this thing. But we're going to have to make some moves. Bless you all. Thanks for being here.